Well, we're thankful this morning, most of all for salvation.
Yes, amen.
I'm thankful for saving grace.
Yes.
I'm thankful for keeping grace.
Yes, amen.
And God is able to not only save, but He's able to keep.
Yes.
I'm thankful to be here this morning. It's been 6 years since I've been here. And there's some people that some loved ones that used to be here is not here anymore. But thank God they're in a better place. I'm thankful this morning there's much we need to be thankful for.
Yes.
And we want to get our thought this morning. I covet your prayers as I, by the grace of God, bring out a portion of the Word. I've learned long ago that we need God when we stand before the sacred desk.
Yes.
I've learned long ago, if you get up here without trembling, you're a little bit too secure. I'm up here trembling this morning. Have the fear of God upon my heart. And I need your prayers. In the 84th Psalm, I like to read a thought here. In the 10th verse, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is a man that trusteth in Thee. I want to talk a little bit this morning. About a doorkeeper. And he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Now in the Hebrew, the word doorkeeper means a janitor, a cleanup man. You know, that's a lowly occupation. People think, I don't know if I want to be a clean-up man or not, cleaning up after everybody. Well, I've had about 15, 16 years as a custodian, worked 8 years in one place. And my boss told me one time, he said, you know, the job that you're doing is a professional job. He said, it isn't everyone that wants to do what you're doing. And I've had some custodians to say, I can't do that. So I have to get in there and do it. What would you do without the garbage truck out here that takes up all your garbage and all your trash? What kind of environment would we live in? I'm thinking this morning that we're living in a wasteland of sin, and it's accumulating rapidly. Wasteland of sin and corruption. I've done a lot of cleanup. You clean up after people. A janitor cleans up after people. I'd rather be a janitor than a litter bug. You know what a litter bug is? Well, they just go around throwing stuff this way where they can throw it. And our neighbor there one time in Ohio, when I lived there, he had his beer cans. When he threw it right in my backyard. Well, I could have made a big fuss about that, but I didn't. So I took them and put them in the bag with all of my excess pop cans. And I took it down and cashed it in for money. Got a profit out of it. You know, we can make a profit of all these things that people dumps on you and I. I'm talking this morning about as we travel through life, we're going to have a lot of things just dumped right on us. People are going to pour out their wrath and their anxiety and their frustration, and they'll throw it right on you. But you're going to do it. People don't know hardly what to do with those things. And many are contented in leaving their minds and hearts so cluttered with hurts, bitterness, hurt feelings, and they get their minds so cluttered up in that. Cluttered has engulfed this perverse generation that it's hard to find moral indecency in our society because it's buried under the rubbish of sin and degrading principles. You can't find moral or decent things in our life, in our society today. It's buried. Buried under the sins and all the corruption that's in the world today. Is very rare that you see folks that have some decency and moral principles in their lives. Over here in Isaiah, I want to talk a little bit this morning. People live where filth and trash buries their conscience, and where moral indecency doesn't exist. There was a woman one time, I have read this in the paper years ago, and she just enjoyed accumulating trash. And she had it on her front porch, she had it in her yard, she had it in her backyard, and she just buy things and accumulate it, and it would end up being trash. Well, the neighbors began to complain about that, and so the law enforcement came out, and they ordered her to clean up her place. I'm giving you 3 days or so many days to clean up your mess, or you're going to jail. Well, she didn't clean up her mess. She just left it there. She'd rather go to jail and be under bondage in a jailhouse than clean up her mess. I want to say today there's a lot of folks that would rather be under bondage and hang on to all the rubbish that's been piled on them rather than getting rid of it and clean up their own lives and put it in the proper disposal.
Yeah, that's right.
There is a place where you and I can dispose of these things. And I'm glad of that. There is a place where all of our sins was disposed of. Aren't you glad? Sin weighed us down. It corrupted me. I was loaded. But thank God I found out there was a place where I can just put all of that in a place unoccupied, out into a zone that was unoccupied. We'll talk about that pretty soon. But I'm glad this morning that you and I can live to where we can be clean, holy, righteous before Him all the days of our lives. Thank the Lord. Over here in Isaiah, the 52nd chapter and the 10th verse, the Lord has made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Clean. God wants you and I to be clean, pure, holy, righteous, godly in this present world. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. God is calling for you and I to have a clean vessel, a clean mind, a pure heart, righteous before Him all the days of our lives. But folks, let me tell you something. One time, I had some folks that just dumped a bunch of stuff on me, And by the time they got done with me, I had a lot of cleaning up to do. It just about broke me down. But with tears and fasting and praying and putting all that stuff that was piled on me and put it in the proper container, that's where I got my freedom.
Amen.
Too many people today would rather be under bondage to all the clutter and all the trash has been poured on them, weighted down with complaints and murmuring and grumbling and so frustrated in their own personal lives. But if they can just come to realize there is a place to put all of this in the proper container and to be disposed of.
Yes, amen.
Freedom. God is calling you and I to be free. Free indeed. Over here in Genesis, I like to bring out a little thought here. Now, in the beginning here, God created the world. We all know that. And everything that He created was pure and good, wholesome. He looked upon all of His creation and He saw it was good, pure, holy. Everything was to perfection. Completeness. Wonderful, wasn't it? I tell you, He looked on it and He didn't see anything wrong with His creation. Well, you know what happened. The enemy came along and dumps a bunch of stuff on Eve's ears. Lies. Just a bunch of old lies. And, well, she accepted it. You know what happened? She took all that trash and it just brought sin right into the whole world. She disobeyed God.
Amen.
And she partook of the forbidden fruit. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness.
Amen.
In the Hebrew, it means janitor. And my boss said, you got a profession there. Well, I thought, I didn't look at that as a profession. Cleaning out after people, cleaning up after them. And sometimes it gets pretty bad. But it's got to be done. And it takes somebody who's willing to do it. And let me tell you something. Your will is the center part of all of your decisions and all your actions is your will.
Yes. Amen.
Now, if you're willing to do something, you're going to do it. So I just got in there and just held my nose and got done what needed to be done and go on and do it. Get it cleaned up.
Amen.
Make it smell better. Make it clean. A lot of people can't do that. Over in Genesis, the 6th chapter here, get a little thought here. And it came to pass when men began to multiply upon the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. Now let me tell you, as we as the people of God are not exempt from the deceptive influence of the enemy. Now here it said, the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. God didn't choose it at all, but they chose it. Here is the beginning of a mixed multitude here. Here is the beginning of, well, let's read on here. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in those days, in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination in the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Continually, without a stopping place. God looked upon that and it got so bad that God had to clean up the environment. So he sent a flood.
Yes.
But a seed remained. The seed of carnality was still there. See? The flood didn't take care of the seed of Adam. It destroyed people. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, but there was a seed still there, the seed of carnality that had to be disposed of. And the flood couldn't do that. So God had another plan. And thank God for that other plan. God had devised a plan to eradicate the seed of sin out of man's life, where he can be holy, pure, and righteous before him all the days of our lives. We can do it, folks. We can do it. And if we're willing to trust God, let's read over here in the 11th and 12th verse. And the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence, filled with trash. Here it is, filled with corruption here. Got to do something with that. God couldn't look on that very long. I believe this society and this world we're living in today is getting in that same state of corruption, moral defilement.
Yes,
things are getting worse and worse and worse, and folks, it'll get worse and worse until the end of time. But we as the saints of God, I'm talking to us today that are saved from sin, living for God. You young folks, before you know it, in a duration of time, you're going to have a lot of things dumped right on you. You're going to have people that will contest you. The devil will do all he can to fill your mind with all kinds of accusations. And you probably already met up with those things. And as you get older down through the years, if we're not careful, we'll begin to accumulate a lot of these things in our minds and our hearts to where bitterness will begin to bear root. The root of bitterness begin to spring up. That will trouble us, and others will be affected by it. But God has a place, has prepared a place for you and I to dispose all the trash and all the insults that the enemy might present to you, and he's got a place where you and I can just put that right in there and dispose of that. One place, the Apostle Paul said, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Sometimes folks will just take days, just in their clouds and just down and in despair and bewilderment and just wondering, why am I in this kind of a condition? I've been hurt. I've been offended. May God help our touchy spots. Sometimes we get so touchy and people to say something or people to do something, and here we get hurt. And we moan and we groan and we grumble and we complain. And the next thing you know, we got to have a little sympathy here, so I'll tell someone else about that. Well, they get affected about what we said, so they'll tell someone else, and pretty soon it'll just defile other people beside yourself. Folks, the thing for you and I to do is begin and dispose of that thing before it begins to crop out and affect other people.
Amen.
I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I'd rather be a janitor.
Yes.
Clean up after folks. I seen a man the other day, and he was one of the residents in the home, elderly man, but he was picking up the little pieces off of the floor, off of the carpets. And he'd pick them up and he'd put them in the trash can. And he'd pick up a little bit of this. Well, that was commendable. But it was better when I got my powerful vacuum out there and got down to where the dirt was and sucked it up. God's got a powerful power vacuum, if you might say, the Holy Spirit, that can get right down deep, right into the very inward part of your soul.
Yes, amen.
And get all of these things that's embedded in there, that you allowed it to be in there, and are causing you to be under bondage, the people, and the circumstances. If we just learn how to bow to the Holy Spirit,
amen.
Learn to yield to Him, He can just use that power He's got, that power vacuum, and He can just pull that thing out of your soul and put it right in that proper disposal plant.
Amen.
That's what the Spirit of God is for. He's got power.
Yes, amen.
Power to uproot. Power to keep us clean. Clean vessels. Over here in Psalms again, the 51st chapter of Psalms. I'd like to read here. People will dump false accusations on us. We encounter assaults and attacks of Satan. Violence and insults are dumped on us. But we are reminded to keep ourselves pure.
Amen.
Paul told Timothy, he said, be not partakers of other men's sins. And he said, you keep yourself pure.
Yes.
Well, I thought God was supposed to do that. But he said, you do it. You keep yourself pure.
Amen.
Don't allow your mind and allow your soul to be corrupted with the things that folks will just pour right on you.
Amen.
Over here in Psalms 51, I'd like to bring out a thought here. I mentioned a while ago, there had been times in my life that I met up with difficulties, problems. We all do. We all have met up with problems and difficulties, and hurtful things, and we have come into a place to where we got our feelings hurt. I don't know. Sometimes we are just battled by feelings sometimes. And get hurt. But there was a period of time that I was hurt deeply. And I didn't know hardly what to do. I was weighed down with burdens. The enemy came in like a flood, began to pour in his accusations and began to pour in his thoughts into my mind. You know, your mind is open to the devil. He's open to the Spirit of God. It's a citadel that's opened up to the spirits of the enemy to come in and pour in all kinds of thoughts in your mind. Don't harbor those thoughts. There is a place that you and I, if we bow to the Spirit of God, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. That power vacuum, it'll just vacuum that right out of your mind. But you have to bow to the Spirit. The Spirit of God is what we need in our lives, folks. We need some power.
Amen.
Power over people. Power over circumstances. Power over our own feelings.
Yes. Amen.
Power over our own minds.
Right.
We're just weighted down and just covered up with trash. Buried. I went to prayer. Folks, that's the first place to go is prayer.
Yeah, that's true.
I went to prayer and I began to pray and I began to cry and shed some tears. And I said, Lord, keep bitterness out of my heart. I'm just at the place here when I'm just about broke. And I prayed up to about 3 o'clock in the morning, praying and crying and weeping. It took about a day and a half, but after a while, all that left. God never did allow bitterness to get in my heart. Folks, let me tell you something. You better get rid of all of this trash or it'll end up being a root of bitterness that'll start growing down in your very inmost soul and others will be affected.
Amen.
There is a place where we can lay all of this to be disposed of. In Psalms 51 and 10, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Now in the 10th verse he said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Now David's been forgiven, but he recognized he needed an inward cleansing. Create in me a clean heart, O God. I need something more than just forgiveness. There's something down embedded deep in my very bosom that need to be cleaned, need to be eradicated, need to be taken out. He knew that. He sensed that. He knew there was something within him that was still there, even though he's been forgiven. The very seed was still there yet. But he said, oh, I need to be clean.
Yes, right.
Deep cleaning. They got cleaning companies now that they got their vacuum sweepers and want to say, ah, this is a vacuum cleaner that it'll do some deep cleaning. Now, it'll get way down there and where the fiber is, way down deep, and get all that dirt corruption down in there, and it'll just suck it right on out. Folks, we need some deep vacuuming in our very, very souls, in our very beings. Get it all vacuumed out. Completely. Where we can be clean and pure. I'm a man that believes in cleanliness. You won't catch me coming out of the bathroom without washing my hands. One time I was in a restaurant. I went to the bathroom and while I was there, the cook was there. The one that worked in the kitchen. He walked right out of there without washing his hands. Well, that kind of displeased me. So I seen the manager. And I told him about it. I said, now this, I've always stopped at this place here and always enjoyed your food. But I said, I noticed your cook was in the restroom a while ago. And he came right by where you wash your hands and went right on out the door and went on back in the kitchen. I let him know I disapproved of that. And I talked real nice to him. He said, I'm glad you told me. He said, I'll correct that. He said, was this the short man with kind of heavy set? I said, yeah, that's him. He said, I'll take care of that. Folks, we need to take care of our own lives.
Yeah, yeah.
Be sure that we're kept clean, pure, holy, righteous before God. That can happen. We can be free from sin. Yes, we can.
Yes.
We can be free from the powers of the enemy.
Amen.
Now, he'll come. You'll have to wrestle with him all the days of our lives. But, folks, we got power. If you don't have it, you need him.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a personality. He is the one that can give you the power to be able to vacuum all this stuff out of your lives. Bow to him. Submit to him. Yield yourself fully to him. Commit yourself to God more. Deepen down in God. Tell God, if there's anything wicked in me, anything in my life that ought not to be there, anything there that I cannot take to heaven with me, get it out of there. Sometimes we have a lot of childhood tendencies that's still buried down in there. And once in a while it'll crop up. And this has God to get down there in them cracks in the corners of our hearts. And if there's anything down in there that I can't take to heaven with me, allow your spirit to make a search. He'll guide us into all truth. He'll guide us right down there in that hidden place, and He'll bring it up through a trial or a temptation or something. He'll bring that thing right up where you can see it. Expose it. Oh my, I didn't realize. I didn't know I had that. Lord, forgive me. Saints need to be forgiven. Saints need to be forgiven. Don't be so holy and so righteous that you feel like you'll never make a mistake or a stumbling or failure. Now we can be kept from sin all the days of our lives. But if we don't take care of these failures and quit saying, well, I failed and I made a mistake, folks don't make it the second time. You keep making them same mistakes and they're turning out to be sins.
Yes.
And they'll corrupt you.
Yes.
Oh, may God help us. The enemy will put impure thoughts in our minds. And he'll crowd our minds where we are vulnerable to attacks and damages. But God is calling for us. He's calling for us to make an appeal to the Spirit of God. Lord, I need greater power of resistance. If there's ever was a day that you and I need a greater power of resistance, it's the day we're living in. We need power to resist all the influence that surrounds us. We need greater power than we ever had before. We don't need manpower, we need God power. Folks, and we can have Him. If we're willing to submit ourselves to Him, it said, submit yourself to God. James said that, submit yourself to God. Then he said, resist the devil. Stand there and resist the devil all you want to, but until you have submitted yourself to God, the devil ain't going to quit. But you submit yourself to God, and then you resist the devil. And that way God's got everything. When the devil comes along there, well, God's got it. You got to get him. The devil knows how much you haven't given to God. And what you haven't given to God, the devil will take possession of that. He'll claim that. And he has a claim to that which you haven't given to God. He's sure that everything is submitted to God, and let him have it. Turn loose of it. Put it in the proper disposal. And then the devil have an awful hard time to bring accusations to our minds. People are weighted down with accusations. He tried that on Jesus, but Jesus gave him the word all the time. Jesus had power, but he always submitted himself to his Father. I am thinking about a scripture here over in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter. Let's get that real quick. Over in 1 Peter, Jesus was our example. And thank God we have someone that we can look to as an example. In the 2nd chapter of 1 Peter, in the 21st verse, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, He reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. But, listen, he committed himself to him that judges righteously. And all of his accusation and all of his revilement from others and the suffering he had to go through with, he didn't threaten, but he just committed himself to his Father.
Amen.
What an example. Committed himself to the Father. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He always done those things that was pleasing to his Father.
Yes,
my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And let me tell you something. You can't do nothing. God can't do nothing over your will.
Amen.
Now, Jesus had the battle of the will. The sins of the whole world was piled on him. And his will backed and balked on that. That was awful. Having all this corruption piled right on top of him, his will just about balked on that. When he went to prayer three different times, it wasn't because of being nailed to the cross. It's because all the sins of the world was piled on him now. All the corruption, all the trash was piled on him now. And he balked on that. And he went three times and finally submitted his will to his Father.
Yes.
Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Of course, your will is your biggest problem. You might blame people, and you might blame your circumstances, but your will is standing between you and your decisions in life.
Amen.
Your will is actually, the Bible calls it the heart, but it's actually the center of all a man's activities, and his decision is his will.
Yes.
And they call it the heart, which is supposed to be the center of man's actions. Well, your will is actually the heart. It's actually the center of all of your decisions and all of your actions is your will. Whosoever will can drink of the water of life freely. If you're willing. And if you're willing this morning, you can be free. You can have liberty. You can be free from all the bondage and all the weighted down with accumulation of trash and all of these things, you can be free. Clean up, man. Sure, they said something, but I just put it right in the proper disposal. I just took that and got rid of it. Some people hang on to it for years. It's deeply bedded in their hearts. And they're under bondage. It's terrible. Many people have their problems and they seek out a fast way to dump off their frustrations and anger. And you'll meet them. And many times we are the target of their frustration and anger. They got to do something with it. And you talk to somebody and they'll just right after you, ready to just pour it right on you. They don't have the right to do that to me. They hurt my feelings. I ain't going to speak to that person no more. I'm getting far away from them. I'm not even going to look at him anymore. You better beware. Because down the road, someone else is going to hurt you.
Yes.
And someone else is going to hurt you. Here you are, being an accumulation of hurts. Here we are weighted down. Here we are at the altar. Here we are praying. Here we requesting unspoken requests. We won't name it out because I have a personal problem. Oh, the Pharisees dumped their frustrations on Christ. He was called a gluttonous, wine bibber. We be not born of fornication. He was accused of having a devil. I was told one time that what I preached was of the devil. You're going to have a lot of things told about you, and sometimes when you hear it, you hear it from somebody else that said, you know what I heard about you, and someone said this, and someone said that. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it when somebody hurts you? You going to hang on to it as a prized possession? Or are you just going to hold on to it? This is something that we're going to have to get rid of it fast, folks.
Yes.
Get rid of it as fast as you can. If you don't, you're going to find yourself in a worse shape than what you were before you got hurt. Wine bibber. Gluttonous. Christ wasn't no gluttonous. He wasn't a wine bibber just because he turned water into wine. We be not born of fornication. What did Christ do? Stand there and defend himself? No. He took it. But he committed all things to his Father. Folks, can we do that? Your trials, your perplexities, your grief, your heartaches, your pain. We all have them, don't we? Heartaches, grief, sorrow. It's our lot. As long as we're in this world, we have them. What are we going to do with them? We're supposed to be a happy people. Everlasting joy upon their heads. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Keep yourself pure. Commit yourself to God. Be true to your companions. Oh, let's live each day of our lives. As Brother Austus used to say, he mentioned about his father. Said, son, live each day as if it was your last day on earth. I think that'd be good for us to think like that. This could be our last day on earth. And to face the judgment bar of God with a bunch of clutter and a bunch of filth and trash in our lives, he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Nothing clean about you. We got a job on our hands, folks. Be clean. Pick up the trash. We have several other scriptures, but we won't read them all. One scripture I like to bring out. Well, let's bring out in Ezekiel first. Ezekiel over here. Bring out a thought, a couple of scriptures here. He can't preach at all anyhow. But over here in Ezekiel 36, beginning of the 24th verse, for I will take you from among the heathens, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness. From all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. David wanted to create in me a clean heart on God and renew a right spirit within me. He wanted the right spirit. Now here's a prophecy where you and I can have a new spirit. And I will put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I will give you a heart of flesh, a tender heart. Heart of compassion. Love. And I will put my spirit within you. What a prophecy. You know that word in that prophecy? You look in your prophecies here and you can find us right in there.
And I will put my spirit within you and cause you. The word cause me, the object influencing a choice or prompting an action. He will cause you. He'll prompt you to act. He'll inspire you. This spirit I put within you, he'll motivate you. All your actions, your activity will be prompted by the Spirit, my Spirit that I'll put within you and cause you to walk in my statute, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. The Spirit of God will cause you to stay clean. He'll give you as we mentioned a while ago, some vacuum power. Clean up your mind. Sometimes our mind is so cluttered, so filled up, that we can't sleep at night, having problems. When my wife passed away, I had a lot of grief after 42 years. Had some sorrow, but you know, when I feel that heaviness, you know where I go? I go to God in prayer. I cry, yeah. But he's got a place for all them tears, too. He bottles them up. And they become blessings. And after I pray, I feel better. I feel relaxed, peaceful. You know, a lot of people can't handle grief. People can't handle sorrow. They can't handle all the problems of life. Many commit suicide. Many get rid of their lives. I can't handle it. Folks, we can't handle the problems and the stress and the perplexities of life until we have a strong man within us to give us the power to keep clean in the midst of all the corruption that's in the world today. Oh, may God help us. All right, we'll read one more scripture. Eliminate the others I have down, but there's one I like to read.
I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Well, let's put it this way. I'd rather be a janitor in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I'd rather be a cleanup man. I got a job to do. I've been hurt. I've been accused. Now I got a job to do now. Got to do some cleaning up. Over in Leviticus, the 16th chapter, the 7th verse, and he shall take the two goats, that's speaking of Aaron here in the 6th verse, and Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. The two goats represents the death and the resurrections of Christ. The scapegoat is one that bears the blame for others.
Yes.
Christ did that, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
He bore the blame that belonged to you and I. Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offered him as a sin offering, but the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive. Thank God for the resurrection.
Yes.
Thank God he rose again. He's alive forevermore.
Amen.
Folks, let's act like he's alive forevermore.
Amen.
He's ours. He's the disposal plant. He's the dumpster. Pour it on him.
Yes,
he'll take all you give him.
Yes, thank the Lord.
Just bound to the Spirit, and he'll just vacuum all that out of your life and put it right on Christ. He'll make an atonement with him to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. In the 20th verse of the same chapter. And when he had made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel. All of them. He cast on him all of our iniquities, Isaiah said. Alright, confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. Christ was fit. He was a man that was qualified to take all of your infirmities and all of your problems. And there is a place that he can dispose of that. Into the wilderness. And shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all the iniquities to a land not inhabited. He shall let go the goat in the wilderness. When the flesh died, sin was carried away to an unoccupied zone.
Yes.
The wilderness. We sing a song, I know in whom my faith is fixed. I don't know what page that song is. But he said he cannot bring again the sins. You know, you take all that you've got, all your sins and all your problems and all your trouble, and give it over to him. Let him dispose of it. It doesn't affect other people anymore. It's all been carried away to an unoccupied zone to where you don't have all of these things that will hurt other people.
Yes, amen.
They can't see the sins in your life anymore. It's gone.
Thank you, Lord.
The frustration is gone. The weighted down of the trash and all the garbage and all of these things is gone. Got victory. Well, I don't feel like I got victory, but I still got victory. Still saved. Still living for God. Yeah, Brother Allen used to like that song, and I liked it too. I don't care what others do, I'm on my way. Folks, let me tell you, Jesus said offenses will come. And it leaves its defiling influence on us if we'll let it. But here he said, he was in an unoccupied room, not seen in the presence of God anymore. He said, I'll just forget them. Forget all about them. I won't even remember them no more. They're in an unoccupied room. God knows where to put all of these things that bothers us. He can put it in a place to where you can live free from all of these cares and problems and troubles that weighs you down. They become weights. Lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset you, and run with patience the race that is set before you. Oh, may God help us today to live to where we can be free, clean, pure, holy, righteous before God all the days of our lives. I'd rather be a janitor, a clean-up man, in the house of my God than to dwell in the house of the wicked.
Amen.
Amen.